What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Syndicates, the Conference Championship Edition. I am Eddie Zamitis alongside John Addo. Vic isn't here this week. We got he had some stuff he had to take care of, so he wasn't able to make it, but we do got his picks, so we'll make sure we give those out. John, last week didn't go as well as the divisional round, or the wild card round for us.
Dude, especially mine. I mean, I had a brutal division round last week. I according to my picks that I gave out on the pod, I don't think I won any of them. All four picks were losers on my end. And so the ones that you guys disagreed on me with, those ones hit. But, yeah, that was a horrible betting week last week on my end for sure.
Were those the ones you bet too?
Yeah. I played every game, and yeah, I had Colts loser, Cowboys loser, Ravens loser, and Saints loser. Right off the rip, like all of them, like all those games except for the Cowboys kind of gave me a chance, but the other three were over before they even started. Colts, Saints almost made that field goal at the end. Remember, that would have gave me the cover. I don't know what you had.
Yeah.
But that Hartley field 52 yarder he missed. Almost gave me the cover. I did say Saints were going to win. I don't know if anybody took them on the money line, but I knew that. I knew they weren't losing, even though it was 14-0. That was kind of wild.
I did. I live bet them during the game.
I had them. Yeah, there was a couple. Like, the Colts game, I just lost it always. Whatever I took in that game, I lost. The Cowboys game, I live bet the Cowboys. Not live bet. I'm sorry. I took a second half on the Cowboys, and I won with that. And then same thing with the Saints game. I took them second half, and that came through. So I won a couple bets, but I had a bad week. I had the Chargers, and then it was halftime, and I completely hopped off, and I got hopped on New England, and New England didn't win second half, so it was a horrible week. So hopefully we do a little bit better this week.
Yeah, man. I mean, but that's the beauty that, like, you can still kind of – make it up elsewhere during the game nowadays with the live betting and the second half bets, all that stuff. So
yeah, you know, before you'd go, you know, if you know, 5 years ago, four years ago, that's just a offer. What I did on Sunday through the weekend, but yeah, you're right. Through live betting and whatnot, you know, I picked up a couple pieces here and there with, you know, the second half Cowboys, the second half Saints, stuff like that. So yeah, live betting is a nice tool to have nowadays. If you wait to find your number, especially in these playoff games when it's like a team like the Saints was down, you could have live bet that game in the first quarter after it was 14-0, and you know you would have made a killing on it. So
man, you and me were both on the Chargers last week, and that was those games.
I got fooled.
And so did I. I was kind of – I said it last week. I was betting with my heart a little bit over my head. Yeah. And, I think –
I mean, at least you kind of knew. You did it because you had that side bet, you know, or that that future prop. And Vic was trying to tell us, you know, everyone's on the Chargers. But the week before, everybody was on the Chargers. And I was like, I'm taking the Ravens, right? And everybody that had the Chargers – everyone was on the Chargers and they won. So when they said – this week the money was on the Chargers, public was on the Chargers, I said I'm not hopping off. I'm, you know, but you know, we got fooled by Brady.
Yeah, we did. But especially at home, man, the Patriots, that was one of those games that you talk about all the time where as soon as it kicked off and like they marched right down the field, you knew we were in some trouble right away.
Three of the four games were like that, Eddie.
Colts, yeah.
Colts was like that. Ravens, I mean, Chargers, Patriots, and the Saints game. I mean, they were all like that. Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah. So, I mean, I couldn't believe that they got stomped that bad. It was only a 13-point game, but, man, that seemed way worse than 13 points.
Eddie, you want to laugh? You know when I knew I lost that game? It was the first play. And maybe I should have known this, and maybe I shouldn't even be saying that I didn't know this. But it was the first play of the game, and Tony Romo said – the first play didn't even happen yet. You know, New England took the ball, which surprised everybody. They usually kick it off, right?
Yep.
And Tony Romo goes on the broadcast, you know, Chargers play this zone defense, and they don't get out of it. And I said to myself, oh my God, how did I not know that the Chargers play zone defense? All Tom Brady knows how to do is pick apart his own defense. He does it every year to Pittsburgh in the playoffs. So the second he said that, I said, Jesus, like, he's going to just pick these guys apart. I didn't realize they played zone defense the whole game. They don't come out of it. So when Tony Romo said that these guys are in a set zone defense, I was like, oh gosh, he's just going to pick them apart. I knew right then and there I was on the wrong side.
Yeah, I was listening to another radio show earlier this week, and this guy is just talking about how Anthony Lynn, the Chargers coach, is a great motivator, but X's and O's is just not there all the way. And they're just kind of set in their ways almost, where they're, right, like you just mentioned, they just were sitting in that zone defense and they had not come out of it the whole game. And they're just, right, like, we're going to hope to beat you with the talent that we have. And man, the Chargers, they have so much potential every year. And I feel like they just waste it on, they go cheap on coaching and it costs them every year because they just, they waste their talent that they have everywhere.
Yeah, there was a particular drive in the you know, I was kind of watching that game in the background because, you know, by the time I left my house, it was 7 to 7. I had some, like, occasions we had to go to, family occasions, and it was 7-7. I'm like, all right, it's going to be a good game. And I look at my phone, 14-7, 21-7, 28-7, 35. Oh, gosh, I stopped. Like, every time you refresh, touchdown New England.
Yeah.
So once we got to the once I got to where I was in front of a TV again, you know, they're down 35-7, and they're trying to play catch up, and they're inside the 5-yard line, and he brings in a whole goal line smash mouth football when they, you know, they had to be throwing and not running out the clock. They even said, like, Rivers was getting mad about why are they playing like this. So you're right, he's set in his ways. Once he gets down to the goal line, it's smash mouth football for him. And even then, when they're down 35-14, he wasn't changing his mind. He didn't care that, you know, time was running out. So yeah, we were definitely on the wrong side. I can't believe I got fooled like that.
Yeah, we both fell for it. So hopefully we don't fall for any tricks this weekend. But and the thing is, I said it last week, is I usually love going with the favorites right, in the divisional round, because the public is always just kind of perceive, you know, what they just saw in the wild card round, the jump on the underdogs. And I think what Vic said last week, that they were all, the public was all on every underdog last week, and man, that's just one that I'm kind of kicking myself over that we didn't roll with the faves.
We were set in our ways too, like Anthony. I stayed with the underdog too, even though it was a public pick. I just usually that's what we're on, the underdog, and I stuck with it, and it kind of bit me. So let's see what we could do this week.
Yeah, so this week, first one up is the NFC game, and I think they're actually both pretty good games this week, but
oh man, they're gonna be great games to watch, that's for sure.
Both of them are 3 points for the home team in both games. So we'll start with the NFC game, the Rams at the Saints. Looks like it's about 55-60% on the Rams. So I wish I had Vic's access to all the books that he has. I only got the two here. So I'm seeing about 55-60% on the Rams. And it opened up at 3.5, moved down to 3. So a little bit of Rams money pushing that number down. But I think it's like -3/-120 for the Saints. So I'll let you go first on this one.
Did you get Vic's pick?
Yeah, so Vic,
get out of the way.
Yeah, we'll do Vic first, actually. So Vic, he said public is on the Rams and he's gonna go with the Saints. So
he's going
with the Saints in this one.
Well, I think I know what you're going with. So, I mean, listen, I've been on the wrong side this whole playoff, basically. I think after that very first Colts-Houston game, which I was waiting for like ever, after that I've done really bad. I lost all last week, and the wild card run, I can't even remember anymore. I know we gave out that Colts pick, but, man, just I'm going to go by watching what I saw last week, and now that Sheldon Rankins is out, he's not going to be in there to stuff the run. The line started at 3.5, is down to 3. That's, I don't know, it makes me kind of like the Rams. The only thing that scares me in this game is the home field advantage. That Superdome is freaking crazy. Once, you know, they willed that game last week when Philly took a 14-0 lead. But going back to that previous game they played, Saints-Rams, you know, Saints got off to a big lead, and Rams made a comeback, and Saints, if you know, there was about another quarter in that game, you know, Rams were going to, I think, come back and win it. I think, I know you got that future ticket out there. I think I know what you're going to say. I'm going to go with the Rams plus the 3 points here.
Okay. So
what do you think?
So, I like the Saints, and actually for some of the reasons that you kind of mentioned is one of the home field advantage. I think the Superdome is going to be insane, and it's going to be tough because what was happening last week, I read an article that the Rams saw that the Cowboys had a tell because the Cowboys had one of the best rush defenses in the NFL, and, I mean, the stats were insane. Yeah, T.J. Anderson. So they said that when – I think it was Andrew Whitworth said that when the Cowboys angled their feet, they knew that they were going to stunt with the defensive line because they only rushed four. And when they lined up with, like, a certain hand on the ground, then they knew that he was either going to drop back or he was going to rush. So they had, like, all these little tells that they were able to take advantage of. And that's why they were able to just plow through and have these gaping holes. And,
yeah, that was surprising.
Yeah. I mean, the Cowboys' defensive line just got manhandled, despite the fact that they're one of the best ones in the NFL. So the Sheldon Rankins loss that you mentioned does concern me a little bit. He's a big piece of their run defense. It's why the Saints' run D is so good. I think now, because that article came out, that the Saints are going to be kind of aware of that and make sure they don't have any tells or maybe even throw in some wrinkles to, like, kind of fake a tell here and there. And that, actually, the same thing happened with the Saints. That's why they did the fake fourth down punt, because they said that they studied on film that Fletcher Cox, who is in on punt return, he doesn't give a shit about those plays. He literally would just, like, as soon as the ball was snapped, he would just stand right up and not even give a shit about the punt return. So – oh, yeah, absolutely.
Didn't you see that coming, though? I saw it coming. I knew they were. Somehow, when they brought the punt team on the – first of all, I was surprised that the punt team came on the field because it was fourth and one. And then when the punt team came on, I said, Sean Payton's faking this. I don't care what happened. I was happy. I was happy when the Eagles coach declined the penalty. He should have accepted that penalty. That exception of that penalty – if they didn't convert a 3rd and 11, it had a good chance of having Philly win that game. That was a key point in that game. But yeah. So you know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I know that Fletcher Cox play that he didn't give a crap about. If he didn't give a crap about that,
yeah. So that's what they did. They ran right at Fletcher Cox on that play, and that's why they got the first down so easy.
Right.
But the Rams have really been struggling as of late too. And I know they won last week, 30-22, all that. But they've only recently beat the 49ers and the Cardinals, who aren't the greatest teams in the world. And they struggled against the Bears and the Eagles. So I think we're starting to see a little bit of chinks in the armor, especially with Jared Goff. Now that Todd Gurley is clearly not 100% with all the carries that CJ Anderson got last week. They are just trying to use as much of Gurley as they can to try and win the Super Bowl and get as much out of him as possible, because dude is not healthy. So I think if the Saints get a lead, that's really going to help them, because the crowd's going to be into it. They're not going to be able to audible. And that was what was happening last week, is once the Cowboys kind of gave their tell, Sean McVay does that little thing where he talks to Jared Goff in the head up until like the 15-second mark. So you tell them, all right, they're lined up like this, we're going to go to this play. So they were able to audible out of it. I don't think you're going to be able to do that on the road, especially in that noisy dome. So I think that's going to be an advantage for the Saints here. And then I don't think they're going to have as much success on the ground as they did in last week against the Cowboys. So that's going to knock it down. And then if they're playing from behind, a lot of the success that Jared Goff has is off of play action. And you're not going to fall for the play action when, you know, you're down 7 points and trying to play catch up, because they know you're not going to be running the ball. So I like the Saints in this spot here. I think I'm going to take it as long as it's -3, 3.5. I don't like that. I did take it at 3 when it jumped down to 3 -120 at my book. So I jumped on that, hoping it gets down a little bit more so I can put the rest of what I wanted to bet on it. But, yeah, I'm going with the Saints here in this one at home, minus the three. So that's who I'm going to roll with.
All right. All right. I wasn't that confident in my pick. I think I'm just going to roll with you. But, look, let me tell you, if it goes down, yeah, if it goes any less than three, then you got to be a little suspicious about something. So you don't want it to go. Honestly, if it gets down to 2.5, you know, that's a trap waiting to happen. They want you to get on that same bandwagon then. So, all right, I'll roll with you guys. I haven't put nothing in yet. I was not that confident. I love betting home teams in the playoffs.
Let me take a look.
What's the over-under on this game?
56.5.
Not something I play, but, you know, you play the 56.5. Man.
So I also – our guy John Ewing that we had on the podcast earlier this year, he put out an article this week about the referees for this game. Jerome Boger's not reffing, so we're not going to go there. But Bill Vinovich for this game.
Who's the ref?
So
I like that guy. I always win when he's reffing for some reason.
He's not.
Is he a good home ref?
So it says home teams are 38-44-2 against the spread. So it's not good for the home teams. However, the Rams are actually – there's fans out there that started a petition to have him removed from the game because in games that he's reffed for the Rams, they are 0-5 against the spread and straight up.
I think he was reffed. Okay. Nice. All right. Yeah, I mean, you already convinced me before you said that, but I like that guy, and I like taking the home team, so – I don't know why every time I see the ref's face and there's a flag and it's against my team, I just like despise. There's some refs I just despise them. He's not one of them. For some reason, every time I see him, I'm like, okay, you know.
He's a good mojo on
my side.
One thing I wanted to kind of jump back to last week real quick. Extra point that Cowboys coach Jason Garrett decided to go for to make it an 8-point game instead of going for two there. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. I saw your Twitter. You didn't agree with him, but Eddie, man, you extend the game as long as you can. He goes for two there. I wanted him to go for two. You know, I had seven. If he went for two, I at least push. So, but I knew he wasn't going for two. He's not the only one that doesn't go for two there. I've seen it a million times with these old – I mean, you know, maybe like McVay or somebody would have did something stupid because he ran a pretty stupid play at the end of the game, I think. But they don't go for two. They extend the play. They extend the game as long as they can. They scored a touchdown. They kick the extra point, right? He goes for two there and he misses. It's game over right then and there. So, I mean – you know, you're going to have to get that two-pointer eventually. They save it for, you know, I guess the last play of the game. So, I don't know. I'm just so used to seeing them not go for two in that spot that it didn't surprise me. And I wasn't, like, banging on the couch because I had seven and they didn't go for two. They never go for two in that spot. Kind of like at the end of the game when they don't have to do it anymore, but they don't kick the extra point. They just kneel on the ball, right? So, That's the same thing I saw in that spot. When they scored a touchdown, I knew they weren't going for two. They never do. But McVay ran a play in that. He could have ruined everything, and I couldn't believe what he was doing. It was the fourth quarter. It was the end of the fourth quarter. They were up by six, and they could have went up by nine, right? I don't know if you remember. They were on the goal. They were on the 1 yard line, fourth and one, and he went for it up six when you had an easy chip shot to be up two possessions. I couldn't understand why he didn't kick. Like if they stuffed him on that play and Dallas went down the field and scored a touchdown, I know it's a lot of ifs, right? But now this guy goes from being this great innovative play caller to a fool. That's what everybody would have said about him. There was no reason why he didn't kick the field goal on that fourth down to go up nine. He went for it to go up 13. I don't know if they went for the two after that or not. I can't remember. But I just was so shocked that he did something like that. It didn't make sense. Like, I know it's cool and whatever.
I would have went for it, too. Because
didn't make any sense to me why he did that.
It's a lot easier for them – or a lot harder for them to go 99 yards. Yeah.
99 yards. Man, let them get one first down there on tilt. Let Cowboys catch one pass to the 15, 20-yard line. That ran the whole rant. That whole stadium's going to get hushed. I wish that happened. But, I mean, that's the old school guy in me. You're a younger cat like McVay. I don't know. I guess you're right. But it didn't make any sense to me. He would have been made a fool if they got stopped and then Cowboys scored.
Oh, absolutely. He would have.
Like he would have been
if he didn't get that
the whole thing.
To make it a two possession game, I get that. Where you wanna go ahead.
It's like hitting on 18. You got 18 against the six, or not a six, but whatever. Why are you hitting on 18, or why are you doubling down on why you got you got pocket kings or two kings against whatever, and then you split them. I didn't get it.
The only reason is because I
was that two pointer. You thought he should have went for the two.
You, like you said, the game's probably over at that point. But then you at least know what you need versus not knowing what you need. Because if you don't go for it and then you do score the touchdown, don't get, and then you make it 30-28 with 15 seconds left, and then you don't get the 2-point conversion. Now the game's really, 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 really over. Whereas if you didn't get it there with like 2.5 minutes left, whatever the time was, yes, it's probably over, but at least you can still, all right, we know we need to onside it here instead of when they kicked it off. They kicked it deep. So we know we got at least attempt an onside kick. We get it. We score. Now we know we can go for the one. Then we got to kick the field goal again. So you know what you need, and at least it'll give you kind of a chance. It's a very slim chance, but I get the point. If from a mental side of things, for a player's aspect, I think that's probably the right thing to go for the 1 point there instead of two, because you want to extend the game as long as possible. And then, if you don't get it emotionally, players probably check out and they know that they lost the game. But from a math standpoint, you want to know what you need. So it's kind of back and forth there. It's tough. It's a tough decision. So I don't think there's necessarily a wrong answer to it.
I just wasn't right. Yeah. I just like from what I've seen in the past, I never see those guys go for two, but McVay probably would have went for two. Some of these younger guys, Nagy probably would have went for two. Some of these younger play callers, they take a little bit more risk than somebody like Jason Garrett. But I wasn't surprised, and it's kind of like installed in my head, like it's okay not to go for two there,
yep,
even though I needed
the. All right, so let's jump over to the AFC game. And same thing, Chiefs at home, -3 against the Patriots. And let's see, this one I think is a little more split. So this one, it's like 55-45, almost 50-50 in this game. Some of it is a little bit in favor of the Chiefs in this game. So Vic, he said Chiefs as well. He said he was a little more split on this game than the other one. I'm actually a little more convinced on this one than the other one.
Yeah, me too. I'm more convinced. I like this game better. But you know what, man? I went against them last week, and I'm doing it again this week. I like the Chiefs at home here, man. I don't know why. I don't know how I'm going with Andy Reid and a rookie quarterback and this horrible defense, which looked amazing last week. I still don't know how. Against Bill Belichick, who has, they've already played these guys once, so I know he has a master plan. And Brady, who's just going to dissect the defense on every drive probably. And I'm still going with Kansas City. I don't know why. I just have a feeling, this is their year, at least to get to the Super Bowl again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love them.
I don't know, man. Are you with me with this? You like the Chiefs?
This one is Clint Blakeman.
Who's the ref in this game?
Uh-oh. So, home teams, 63-71 and 5 against the spread. In games where he rests for the Chiefs, they're 4-2-2 against the spread. In games for the Patriots, they're 2-6 against the spread.
Right. Listen, I promise you there's going to be a controversial play in this game, and this ref is it's going to be something that blows up on Twitter. It happens every time when this guy's reffing a game, something very silly happens and he has to explain himself for 20 minutes about why it went down like this, and it's going to be on Twitter how, you know, this particular play, whatever it may be, is going to cause somebody to win or lose the game. It happens every time with this guy. Watch. But I like the Chiefs, man. You know what got me worried?
Yeah.
You see how Mahomes just kind of looks one way, then chucks it back the other way? If that happens, and then he starts throwing interceptions, because he hasn't thrown an interception all year. And we haven't been on the Chiefs this, you know, we've been kind of fading them, and it hasn't been working out in our favor this year. And every time Mahomes takes one of those runs to the right, throws back to the left plays, I'm thinking to myself, interception, and somehow, some way, Tyreek Hill's wide open, or some guy's open for a first down. Kelce catches a first down. Sammy Watkins makes a one-handed catch. Every time he does that, I'm going to take the Chiefs, and if he runs to the right and throws back to the left and New England picks it off,
I don't think they're going to win this game because they suck on the road this year. They're 3-5 on the road. And when they're at home, they're a totally different team. Now you got to put them on the road against and probably one of the rowdiest places to play in Arrowhead. And what were you going to say? No, they were saying it was going to be insanely cold.
Like
now they're saying
it's
like 22 degrees. So,
but yeah. Wind is a big issue, but is it going to be like
I don't think so. I think it was just going to be really cold. So as long as it's not like snowy and the Chiefs can still have their speed, I think we're good. Because if it slows down.
Exactly.
Yeah, they did. The Patriots couldn't really stop them.
They scored a lot.
And for some reason, the Chiefs defense plays so much better at home than they do on the road. There was they said there was a difference between like 29 points per game on the road versus I think it was 18 points per game at home. So, I don't know. They play a lot different at home for that defense. I really like the Chiefs here. I think the speed versus the slow old New England is going to be the big factor here. I know it's going against Brady, which isn't the best thing to do. And here's a little nugget, too. Since I think it was like 2003, something like that, only four quarterbacks have played in the Super Bowl for the AFC. And that's pretty much like over half my lifetime because I think I'm all...
Oh, yeah. Brady, Manning. I know this off the top of my head.
But he was
Brady,
basically
Manning,
like
Ben
Jesus throwing the football.
Flacco played one or two. And I don't think there was any. Is that four? That's all of them. Brady and Manning have been to all of them. And
so I think this is going to be the year we
Flacco
finally see that that trend break. Because the Chiefs, man, they look good last week. Their offense is clicking still. It has been all season. I just think New England's a little too old, a little too slow to keep up with them. And we're finally going to see some breaks here for Kansas City. So the speed, I think, is what's going to be big in this game for Kansas City to win it. So.
You know what's crazy? If New England was at home, I tell you, I'm all over. I'm taking the Chiefs.
Yep, I agree 100%. If this was in New England, I would do it. And I still to this day say that the Patriots could probably have another Super Bowl. The one that Denver beat the Panthers in a couple years ago, Super Bowl 50, I think. Because in the AFC Championship.
Yeah, I was on New England.
Yes, in week 17, they lost to Miami. And it costed them the number one seed in the playoffs. And I said that if they would have won that game against Miami, they would have been playing in Foxborough for the AFC Championship, and I don't think Denver would have been in the Super Bowl.
Yep. Yep. I don't know why Brady – I mean, New England always takes those end weeks off. You know, Miami got that miracle touchdown on them. You know, this same thing might happen to them again this year, but who knows?
Chiefs and Saints is what we are looking at.
Chiefs Saints, huh?
So that I saw some advanced lines that
what do you think the line would be?
All right, yeah.
Let me guess then. Let me guess. I didn't see that. All right. So, Chiefs. If it's Chiefs Saints, I'm
one
gonna
and a
say
half was what it would
Saints
be.
Minus.
Yep. So.
One and a half. All right.
Yeah.
So
all
it,
the scenarios. So it's
if it's
Saints
if it,
and Chiefs is
you got
minus
all of
one
them?
and a half. Let's see. Saints and Patriots. What do you think it would be?
Yeah. Saints Patriots. This is weird. I'd actually say Patriots minus.
Same spread as the other game.
One way or another.
Saints minus one and a half.
No. Saints minus one and a half. Okay, and then hopefully none of this other stuff happens. Rams and Patriots. Rams minus no.
As they said, pick.
Jeez, Patriots minus two. Pick. Okay. And
they said
Chiefs,
pick for
Rams,
that one too.
Rams minus two. Rams minus one. Oh wow!
Yeah,
we're
so
have a,
I like to see those lines to see what
crazy.
They would be
really
like
close.
This week, and then how much it changes based off of like what happens in the AFC and NFC championship games. Because I think so too. I know. I remember one year. I think it changed.
Change
I feel like it was one of the games where Seattle, maybe Seattle Denver, the first one when Seattle just destroyed them. I feel like that one changed a lot. The look ahead line was like Seattle minus two, and then it turned out to be Denver minus two because Denver looked really good, and Seattle like barely scraped by San Francisco.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, it did. It went from like 2-1 way to one the other way, which I mean, in the end, how much does that really matter? 2-1 way to one the other way, you know? But yeah, that was.
I was for the whole 2 weeks
the
saying, Seattle's gonna win. And then the day of, I made a bet on the Broncos because I was like, I can't go against Peyton Manning. Their offense looks too good.
Yeah, you're too many people around. Change your mind, Peyton Manning. Da da da. So yeah, but yeah, man, these games are gonna be really good this weekend. So we're on the Saints and we're on the Chiefs, right? I mean, listen, you're gonna take the two home teams. What's the worst that's gonna happen? You're gonna go 1-1.
Yep.
I highly doubt.
I agree.
Both
I think
road teams
at least one of them, especially
game,
these two
know?
Home crowds. These are two of the best home crowds in the NFL. So one of them is at least gonna get us a win here.
Yeah.
So as long as I think you get minus three for both of them. Be careful because I see that Chiefs line kind of creeping up a little bit. I saw it was minus 120 in some spots. So I hope not, but just keep an eye out for it just in case. So, but yeah, Vic agrees with us. So all three of us are on the favorites, the home minus three. Well, so I like it.
I like it better this way. I like it better when we're, you know, we've been on, you know, during the regular season, there's so many games that, you know, we find that game and we're like, oh, there it is. There's the one game because there's 10 games. Once they get down and they scrunch the games up and, you know, there's four games and you want to play all four of them and you got to make a pick, you know what I'm saying? Like we have been, it gets a little bit tougher.
Yeah.
But
so
I like being
I'm glad
all
you,
on the
you
same
joined
side
with
here.
Us
I feel
with
a
the
little
Saints.
More confident.
So,
well,
My wife appreciates it too. She's a big Saints fan.
That's the only way we can go out, Eddie.
Yeah, I know. Last week, my mom, she's
your
a
other
big
two
Eagles
fortunes.
Fan. It
we
was
gotta
her
have
birthday.
This one come through.
And my wife is a big Saints fan, so I was like, oh, geez, I don't know what to do. So, we just kind of stayed away for that one. So,
stay away.
But yeah, so let's go favorites, home teams. Okay. Hopefully, we get some wins. The refs are in our favor, all that stuff. So, next week, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe we'll do something, or if not, we'll just do it for the Super Bowl week because I don't usually bet on the Pro Bowl. So, yeah.
Why not? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I know some guys that do. So
you're a real degenerate when you bet on the Pro Bowl.
All right, we'll see you later.